Today on More to Life, Masters of Manipulation. Caught up in someone else's lies, games, manipulations, or power plays. We'll help you find ways to respond gracefully. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Masters of Manipulation. Are you caught up in somebody else's lies, games, manipulations, power plays, dealing with an entitled person you're not sure how to handle? Well, we want to help you find ways to respond gracefully. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
You know, when we say this, you know, are you dealing with a manipulative person? You might go, no. By the end of the show, you're going to be going, am I? Because manipulative people...
I hope
people
by the end of the show you'll be able to not just do
call,
that, but also say, here's what I can do
about
it.
Here's what I can do about it, exactly. But the reason I say it's going to take a few people, not everybody, but a few people, a minute to realize that they are, is because manipulative people, manipulation in general, happens kind of gradually. And as Christian people, we have a tendency to be more susceptible to manipulation because we want to work for people's good. We want to help. We want to be charitable. We want to be loving. We want to share Jesus with them through our actions. And over time, little by little, it moves from we were helpful to they are now manipulating us into doing what they want, the way they want it, when they want it. And it can be anywhere on that continuum where you're just beginning to notice you're doing more of the work than this person is. You're more worried about their well-being than they seem to be. All the way up to you just know that every time your phone goes off, every time you're with this person, they are going to try to get something out of you, and you're not going to get a whole lot back.
Well, and of course, there are some people, like you're describing, for whom manipulation is a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are also, you know, times when everybody forgets themselves, and, you know, we just think we're trying to be assertive, but then we're really kind of pushing the boundaries a little bit too far, being a little too more demanding than we ought to be, and we don't even realize it, you know. So, you know, whether you're dealing with that person who has made a habit of being manipulative or entitled, or somebody who's just kind of fallen into a bad place, we want to help you deal with those situations gracefully. And whether that's a younger or adult child who's being demanding, a spouse who's insisting on their way, regardless of what you say, a family member or a friend who's always trying to get their way and making you feel guilty about something to do it. We want to help you tell the difference between assertiveness and manipulation, between being generous and being used, and how you can respond charitably but effectively when you're worried that you're being manipulated. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Join the conversation.
Or maybe you're worried about somebody you know being manipulated by someone else, somebody who you care about who's in a romantic relationship with somebody who seems to be starting to pull their puppet strings instead of really being in a relationship, an adult parent or a younger child who seems to be being taken advantage of by someone and you're not sure how to handle it. Let us help you with whoever's maybe manipulating you a little bit or the people you love. Let us help you with that today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Now, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might be wondering, well, you know, how could some highfalutin theology help me deal with manipulators? Well, great question, and fair. But when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a huge question. Basically, he said, you know, if we look at everything that God's given us, I mean, creation, scripture, salvation history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that healthy, holy relationships are meant to be, now listen to it, mutually self-giving. They're meant to reflect the love that exists within the Trinity. Now, what does that mean? Well, as we've shared before, St. Bonaventure wisely compared the Trinity to a three-bucket water wheel that's constantly pouring itself out, yet never runs dry, because each bucket is being immediately refilled by the others. That's what Christian relationship is supposed to look like. Everyone giving of themselves fully and freely, so no one ever feels manipulated or burned out or used.
So Christians have both the God-given right and responsibility to communicate their needs honestly and to have those needs respected, as long as we're equally committed to being generous toward others. But the thing is, that balance gets disrupted when somebody is manipulative. You know, manipulative people tend to make it unsafe to give because they don't give back. Instead, they use guilt or pressure or emotional games to get what they want, and often make us feel like we only matter when we're serving their agenda.
That's right, and when that happens, love stops being self-giving and becomes self-serving.
And even destructive, really.
Mm-hmm. The person being manipulated ends up being reduced to an object, a means to someone else's ends. And that is never okay. Because as the theology of the body reminds us, each person has a right to be loved in a manner that respects their dignity as a child of God. We're called to be generous, yes, but never at the cost of our own God-given dignity.
Well, and that's why we need to learn to set boundaries when we feel like we're being used or manipulated. Setting boundaries isn't selfish in those instances. It's actually charitable, because boundaries protect that communion that God intends for relationships. They help us say, I love you too much to let you keep using me. And then that helps us respond to manipulation lovingly, even while we're reminding the person that we have a right to be loved too.
Now, I want to really emphasize here that St. Bonaventure's image is a pouring out of oneself into the other in this cyclical, mutual self-donation that comes from love. But it is not, I'm underlining this again, not what the modern world teaches us, which is a transactional kind of relationship. Well, I'll take the garbage out if you do the dishes. I'll pick up the kids if you make dinner. I'll do this if you do that. That's not love. Doing those things for each other when you're pouring yourself out and you're loving one another and working for each other's good, yes, that's on the right track. But when everything is what we'd call an emotional game of chicken, I'll go just as far as you're willing to go, and I'll hold back if you don't, and everything is a contract and not love, that's not what St. Bonaventure or St. John Paul II is talking about here. That's actually destructive, because, again, we're using the other as a thing, and in some ways ourselves as a thing. You put the quarter in the vending machine, or whatever it is now, $5 in the vending machine, and I'll give you your soda or your candy or whatever that is, and if you don't, I won't. That is being an object. That is being used. What St. John Paul II and St. Bonaventure are talking about is real, true Christian love shown through mutual self-donation.
So give us a call, 877-573-7825, and tell us, are you dealing with somebody who you feel is being a little controlling, manipulative, or entitled? Whether that's a younger or adult child who's being really demanding and you can never seem to satisfy, a spouse who's insisting on their way.
Maybe you're just feeling really burnt out because you're doing so much for other people and you don't really realize why you're burned out until you're hearing about this idea of being used rather than loved.
Well, exactly. And, you know, this can play out in any relationship. And, for example, you know, even a family member or
yes.
friend who's always trying to get their way by making us feel guilty about something. How can you tell the difference between assertiveness and manipulation or between being generous and being used? You know, how can you respond charitably but effectively when you're worried that somebody is kind of manipulating you or using you? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. And I'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those situations where we feel like we might be being manipulated or used, or we're dealing with somebody who's particularly demanding or entitled. Lord, we know that you call us to be generous, and we want to be generous. It's good to use the gifts you've given us to help make others' lives easier and more pleasant, and to work with others to help them grow and be healthier, holier people. But sometimes it's hard to know where to draw the line between being generous and allowing ourselves to be used. So we ask you, Lord, for the wisdom to tell the difference between those things. We ask you for the wisdom to know, in our own dealings with other people, the difference between being assertive and being manipulative or putting pressure on them. And we ask you to help us to know how to respond to those situations gracefully so that all of our relationships can reflect that mutual self-giving love that St. John Paul says should characterize Christian relationships, so that we can constantly give ourselves freely and fully to each other without being afraid of being used or manipulated. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Masters of Manipulation. Are you caught up in someone's games, lies, manipulations, power plays? Are you feeling maybe a little used or tired of dealing with somebody you think is maybe a little entitled, whether they mean to be or not? Let's talk out ways to respond gracefully. 877-573-7825. You can also send your questions to us via email at questions@moretoliferadio.com.
Which is what Nancy in Michigan did this morning. And I have to say, this one surprised me a little bit. I didn't expect it, but it's a really, really good question. So let's start the day with that. She says, my son, who is in sixth grade, is really developing a bad habit. We moved over the summer, so he is in a new school in a new town. At first, I thought he was overwhelmed by all the changes. So when he would come to us on a Friday, whining that he was upset that he had a project due on Monday and he hadn't even started it and he was feeling overwhelmed, I would help him. Things like that began to happen over and over again. Now he seems to always suck me or my husband into helping him or doing most of his work. But this past week, I saw him talking his sister into doing his chores because he, and she puts this in quotes, has so much to do or isn't feeling well. I thought we were helping him through the transition of the move and helping him be emotionally more secure. But now I'm not sure what to do because it's beginning to feel like a habit and possibly manipulation. What should we do about this? And that's Nancy in Michigan.
Nancy, thank you so much for the question and good call.
It's a very good call. And boy, I'll tell you, when you start seeing it that young, if you don't do something about it, you can end up with a person who ends up in that habit throughout their lives.
That's right. And you know, look, to be fair, you know, kids are just learning how to meet their needs and how to get things done. And, you know, sometimes we all tend to gravitate toward the easiest way, you know, and we unintentionally fall into that manipulative place. So it's good for you to catch this at this point, and there are things that you can do about it. So the problem is, right, that he is making you more responsible, or others in general, more responsible for his stuff than he is.
And I have to say that perhaps, you know, in terms of also getting his needs met, Maybe he really was going through that difficulty of that transition, and when you would be there to be alongside of him, spend that time on that project and that work, he felt loved. But now his brain's starting to say, I feel loved when other people take care of my responsibilities, and that's why it's building and building and building. But that's what starts to happen when it's not mutual self-donation. He's feeling loved by all the self-donation that you and your husband are doing, and now maybe his sister's being talked into, but he's not giving back in return.
So let's focus on the schoolwork here, because I just want to be able to concentrate on one issue, and then you can generalize this to other things. So to reverse this dynamic where you're doing more work than he is, you need two things. First, you're going to need to know what his work actually is from school. So most schools do have a website where teachers post homework assignments.
Yeah, everybody now.
So you should be on that, making sure that you understand what his assignments are every day. Secondly, you want to create a ritual, a routine where after school, you know, he comes home, maybe has a snack, maybe you catch up with him a little bit, and reconnect, build that relationship. But then after that, it's homework time. Now, you might say, well, what about other activities? Well, you know, he has these things to do. Those activities are off right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So until he can demonstrate that he is able and willing to do his work, that's the most important thing to focus on. If he needs to miss a few games or practices, or, you know, that causes him to be kicked off the team or whatever, that's a logical consequence of needing the space and the time to do the work and take responsibility for his stuff. This is not a punishment. You're not saying to him, I'm taking this away, you know, until you figure out what to do. I'm saying that you create a routine and you make the space and the time available for him to do what he needs to learn how to do, right? And then what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to provide some supervision, because if you just say to him, go do this and sit there until it's done,
yeah, that's not going to work.
So you're going to need to be there. But while you're there, you're not doing the work. You're asking questions. Okay, what's the next step? You know, and if he stares at you blankly and you know that he knows, but he just doesn't want to say, you say, well, I'll be back in 5 minutes. You figure that out. And then once he does that, then, okay, well, what's the next step? The point is you're creating the structure and the accountability, as well as the prompts that walk him through the steps of how does he think through these things on his own. And you're giving him the time and the space to do it, right? But you're not going to do it for him. You're just creating the structure where he can learn to do this. This is a critical time, by the way, for kids to learn what's psychological industry versus inferiority. In other words, they learn to be effective and follow through, or they learn to feel inferior and just make everybody else do their stuff for them. So this is a really important time in his development to be concentrating on that. If you can focus on those two things, getting the information so you know what he needs to do, giving him the space to do it by saying, you know, until you can show me that you have the ability to, you know, do your work every day, then you're not going to be able to go to anything, you know, that would compete with that time. And then you're creating the structure that follows through with it. Then you should see a pretty significant difference within about 2 weeks.
And again, this is really loving your son. It was lovely that you were really caring about this transition, but now the way to love him is to help him to become his best self. Be there, be supportive, but don't do the work for him. If he gets stuck, have him go back through the directions or back through former homework to try to figure out those steps. It's supportive in a way that teaches him the industry he needs. You're not yelling at him. You're not punishing him. You're saying, we're going to make sure that you know how you can do these things and feel successful. And that's why we're doing it this way, to help you feel successful and capable.
All right. Thank you so much for the question. And if there's more we can do to support you, this is the kind of thing we deal with on Catholic Home every day. That's Catholic HOM, stands for Households on Mission. You can get it wherever you get your apps. And at Catholic Home, we provide parent coaching, Lisa and I do, as well as our whole team of pastoral counselors, plus tons of creative resources to help you build a more loving, caring, and connected Catholic family life. Check it out, Catholic HOM, Households on Mission. Download the app and subscribe to the community to get the support that you need to build that family life that you want to be and become that more confident, effective Catholic parent. With that, we're going to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder and director of CatholicSingles.com, where she helps to, enable singles to live real relationships that are according to the theology of the body. And she's going to be joining us to talk about what TOB can teach about manipulation when More to Life continues after the break.
underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Masters of Manipulation, as we talk about those relationships where we feel maybe we're dealing with a person who's kind of entitled, maybe a little bit pushy, manipulative. How do we respond gracefully? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She's the founder and director of the National Catholic Singles Conference at nationalcatholicsingles.com. Hey, Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much. Always great to be here with you.
Well, thank you. And, you know, we've been talking about how manipulation is a violation of our dignity as sons and daughters of God. What are some of the other ways that the theology of the body speaks to this topic of manipulation and, you know, how to respond to it gracefully?
Sure, yes. I think one of the salient, really great points you made there about manipulation is that it really makes you feel like you're being used, like somebody wants to get something out of you and make you do something. And it made me think of the whole topic of freedom, which is so key to John Paul II's work, not only with the theology of the body, but throughout his whole pontificate. And, you know, in order to have love, we have to have freedom. And because the only way we can choose to love is with our freedom. And that's why we have freedom in the first place. You know, God wanted us to be able to love. And so I think that's really important to remember when it comes to this whole topic, because, you know, you also mentioned that sometimes we can fall into it without, like, even if we're not manipulative people, right, that we're trying to control other people and stuff, we can sometimes fall into it because we know what people's buttons are. We're like, oh, you know, it'd be really great if we could do this. And you can kind of, you know, say things in such a way to get somebody to do what you want them to do, without even, like, realizing you're manipulating that person. And so I think it's really important to remember that with this whole topic, that we want to make sure we give others their freedom, that interior freedom, to choose the good, to express their needs, to express what they want. And if we feel like that's being violated in us, I mean, honestly, we can't, the other person can't really violate our freedom when it comes to that interior freedom, right? We can always choose to put up the boundaries, like you said, and to assert ourselves. But if that person's making it more difficult to express ourselves and stuff, we just have to remember that that freedom is so important. And so I think, and if we remember that the point of that freedom is love, we have to have that freedom to love, then I think that if we put it all in that context, it can make it easier for us to navigate situations where we feel that, you know, we're questioning, oh, is this manipulation? Is this not? Or is this just assertiveness? I think securing that freedom and making that possible both for ourselves and for that other person is...
Well, and yeah, and let's look at like what because we tend to think of freedom as you know, just sort of the sort of ability to do what we want to do or how we want to do it. And really, you know, when John Tuttle talks about freedom, you know, he's really talking about the ability to choose what's right, well, the ability to,
exactly.
You know, to choose to do the right
he
thing.
He and both.
And so,
Benedict did as well.
You know, in those situations where we feel like we're being manipulated, you know, we're being pressured to do something, either do something that isn't good for us or for them, or in a way that isn't good for us or them. And so we exercise that freedom by being able to say, you know, I want to be able to help, but here would be a healthier way to do that. Or I'd like to help, but what you're asking for isn't appropriate or isn't right or isn't rightly ordered. And so we exercise that freedom in a way that allows us to love others in a way that works for their ultimate good and ours too, right?
Oh, exactly. And so I think, too, at least for myself sometimes, if I'm saying, okay, am I just being assertive or am I somehow, you know, trying to manipulate a situation? It's like I always have to remember, you know, that I want to value and cherish that person's freedom and present things in a way that makes it easier for them to say no if they don't want to. Or because it's also important to be assertive as well, like especially if the other person's impinging on our or, you know, trying to make us do something or manipulate us.
No, and actually, we're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break, about what the difference is between being manipulative and being assertive. That's a great question. Thanks for teeing that up. And we appreciate you being with us today, Anastasia. And if folks would like to learn more about your work at the National Catholic Singles Conference, we encourage them to go to nationalcatholicsingles.com. That's nationalcatholicsingles.com. And listeners, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Are you feeling caught up in somebody's games, lies, manipulations, power plays, dealing with an entitled person and not sure how to respond gracefully? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Looking for a more peaceful family by Christmas? Join Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak for a free live webinar, Have a More Peaceful Family by Christmas. It's Thursday, November 13th from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Discover practical ways to reclaim Advent with purpose, prayer, and joy. Don't let Advent slip by in stress and distraction. Join the Popchecks and turn this season into a sacred success story. Register now at AveMariaRadio.net and make this Advent your most intentional yet.
What does the Catholic Catechism mean when it says Jesus teaches us to pray with filial boldness? Filial boldness means praying like the son or daughter that we are. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and you will, Jesus says. The key is the faith that does not doubt. Jesus was disheartened by his neighbors and his own disciples' lack of faith. He greatly admired the great faith exhibited by the Roman centurion and the Canaanite woman. Of what does the prayer of faith consist? It contains the disposition of the heart to do the will of the Father, a concern for cooperating with the divine plan. In Jesus, the kingdom of God is at hand. In addition to conversion and faith, Jesus calls us to watchfulness, attentive to him who is and him who comes, in memory of his first coming in the flesh and in hopefulness of his second coming in glory. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. The key to being effective at handling conflict is keeping a close eye on our own emotional temperature. On a scale of 1 to 10, you never want to allow yourself to get over a 7, especially when you're in disagreement with someone. How do you know when you're getting too hot? One of the first behavioral signs that we are approaching a 7 on our emotional temperature scale is that we start to speak and act too quickly for our brain to keep up. We start to
trip over our words. We make silly, avoidable mistakes like knocking over a glass that we're reaching for. When our emotional temperature gets too high, we lose track of details, which makes it harder to solve problems and often makes us do and say things that make problems even worse. To lower your stress temperature, one deceptively simple technique is to deliberately slow down. Speak a little more slowly than you want to. Or instead of thinking of all the things you have to do next, focus your mind on what you're doing now. Consciously slowing down lets your thinking brain catch up with your feeling brain, which lets your whole brain work on resolving the conflict. To learn more, check out our book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Masters of Manipulation. We're talking about those relationships that feel a little manipulative. I mean, and maybe the person isn't even meaning to be. They're not even aware of it. Nevertheless, the way they come across is a little pushy, kind of guilting, maybe a little entitled. And if you have somebody in your life like that and you're not sure how to respond gracefully, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Before we take our next question here, I want to let you know about a great resource for parents out there. If you are looking for ways to have a more peaceful family by Christmas, and who doesn't want that, join us Thursday, November 13th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, to discover how to cooperate with the grace of the Advent season to have a more peaceful family by Christmas.
Well, and I'll tell you, it's so easy for us to think that Christmas is going to fix the stress that we feel in our family, either from busyness or arguing or whatever those things are. And Christmas will make it better. But if we don't go in with a different mindset, different skills, and forming that good foundation beforehand, we'll crumple. We'll be so disappointed in it all. So let us help you feel more connected to your family, feel more loved, and feel the loving that's going on in your family, and help all of you feel more connected to Christ over Advent and the Christmas season.
Well, because the whole point of Advent is making room in our hearts and our homes to welcome the Lord.
That's right.
And if we do that, we should be seeing a difference in the way we relate to each other as parents and kids, husbands and wives. We're going to talk about how to cooperate with that grace to create those kinds of relationship changes between now and Christmas. This Thursday, November 13th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, the webinar is sponsored by Ave Maria Radio, so it's totally free. All you got to do is register by going to AveMariaRadio.net. It's the very first slide on the homepage, A More Peaceful Family by Christmas. Go there, check it out, sign up. Hope to see you tomorrow night.
Yeah, so click on that first slide so that you can get the Zoom link for this free webinar tomorrow night, November 13th at 7:30 Eastern.
And with that, we are taking your calls about those times when we feel manipulated or a little kind of, you know, maybe either bullied or guilted into trying to do something that we don't necessarily either want to do or feel like it's best for us or the other person. How do we draw the lines? You know, what do we know? How do we know the difference between being generous and enabling somebody in doing something that's unhealthy? 877-573-7825.
We have a question here from Sarah, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio. She says, "Hi, Dr. Greg and Lisa. I love my mom. I really do want to honor her. And we've always had a pretty close relationship. But at this point, she's driving me crazy. She's in her 70s and has some very minor health issues. And I know she gets lonely because my dad passed about 10 years ago. But she can be so demanding. She calls at the worst times and doesn't understand that I have work and also to take care of my own husband and kids. How can I balance honoring her with setting some healthy boundaries without making her feel wounded or unloved?" And that's Sarah in Ohio.
Sarah, thank you so much for the question. And this actually ties into, you know, what Anastasia was talking about in her segment and how she teed us up to talk about the difference between assertiveness and manipulation.
So when we're being assertive, you know, we're being honest about what our needs are. So let's call that the what I need, what I you know, need from you. But we're also being flexible about the how and the when, right? So I'm coming to you and saying, hey, this is a need that I've got. You know, how can we work together to meet it? You know, can you help me? And when? What's a good time?
And it doesn't just have to be the physical help. It can be you're saying your mom's lonely. It can be that she's reaching out to you throughout the day because she wants an emotional connection. So it's about scheduling when that's workable for you and for her, not just saying, well, no, I can't meet your emotional needs either.
So somebody's assertive when they honor their what but negotiate the how and the when. Somebody's being manipulative and a little selfish when they present the how, what, and when as a total package. You have to do what I want, when I want, and how I want you to do it. And whether that's convenient for you or whether that's for your good or really in my best interest, this is the way I want it. And then I lean into that with guilt or with pressure, with anger, to get you to do it, to get you to do what I want, when I want, and how. And that's the difference between assertiveness and manipulation.
It's manipulation, and at some points it actually becomes bullying. So it's really important to see the difference in that. If you're working with someone who's not trying to be manipulative, and you kind of call it back to, gee, Mom, I really want a chance to connect with you this week and catch up, but I can't do it until either, you know, pick times that really work for you. Wednesday night after the kids are in bed, or Saturday morning while I'm making breakfast for everybody, we can talk on the phone. Whatever those things are, if she just isn't in a place where she has to have it her way when she had, you know, all those things that Greg was saying, she'll say, oh, I wish we could talk more, but sure, that makes sense. I know how busy you are. That's her being mutually self-donative. She's willing to work on the what and how to get that met because she cares about what's going on in your life as well.
So that's the first suggestion. I mean, make sure that you're being clear with your mom. But, hey, I really love hearing from you and I love talking with you, but I want to be able to give you the attention that you deserve. And when you just call kind of random times, I can't always do that. So let's set these times when I can count on carving out this space for you and for us to be able to hold that connection.
And you can do the same. I just want to chime in there. You can do the same with the physical things. Consider her enough of your family that you would do the same thing that you do with your husband and your kids, which hopefully is sit down once a month, schedule the month out. So if you know that she's, you know, coming up on, she has to get to the eye doctor or she has to be at this certain thing, you can sit down and work out those things and say to her, okay, these are the times and the days that I have free to take you to this thing. And if not, this is, you're going to have to find a friend or call a taxi or something like that to make it work for you.
So let's say she calls you and says, hey, I have this doctor's appointment and they said that I shouldn't drive. Mm-hmm. I need you to take me. It's okay for you to say, you know, assuming this isn't some kind of a medical emergency,
right.
You know, which, you know, but, you know, assuming it's not that, then it's perfectly fine to say, oh, Mom, I'm so sorry. I wish you'd asked me before. I can't do it at that time or day. I could do it at this time or this day. I could do it at that time or that day. So if you wanted to do it at the time you're asking, you're going to need to ask somebody else to do it. Or if you can be flexible, I could take you on this time and day or that time and day. Do you see how that works? You're not giving into the manipulation, but you're still honoring your mom and being generous by offering a way that works for you that will also meet her need. People will often say, well, what if they don't like that? What if they don't like that? I mean, you know, you're giving them a way to meet the need. And if they don't want to do that, then they can either meet it themselves or they can go find somebody else who can help them the way they want. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's wrong for them to expect you to do what they want, how they want, and when.
Yeah, we all have a right to be disappointed, right? If I had, you know, this great and wonderful hope that, you know, I would be able to go with one of my kids to some event and I was excited about it and I contacted them and said, hey, can you do this next Saturday? It'll be so much fun. And they'd say, I'm sorry, I already have something on my schedule. I have a right to say, oh, that's really disappointing. This would have been fun. Well, maybe next time something like this rolls around, we'll have more notice. You know, I can feel sad. Yeah, I can feel disappointed, but I can't say, well, you don't love me enough to cancel that. You can't fit this in. Don't you know how it's important to me? We used to do things like this together before you married that person or
to take, even if they do say it that way, that unpleasant way,
yeah,
you know, well, then we end up feeling like, well, gosh, you know, I did something wrong and they're not happy with
me. Especially if it's apparent like it is here with Sarah, because we go back to our child memories.
But I think what you said is really important. We have to recognize the other person has a right to be disappointed or sad or angry or whatever. If they don't express that disappointment or sadness or anger in a way that it's appropriate or the way that makes us, you know, unhappy,
feel uncomfortable,
it's okay to just let it go and just say, well, you know, I get it. They're upset. You know, they're going to have to deal with that.
They'll get over it.
You know, like because every person's feelings are primarily their responsibility. It's not your job to save me from my feelings. You know, you can be empathetic. Gosh, I'm really sorry you feel that way. I get it. I certainly understand why you're disappointed. I just wish I could do it this time or that time, but I can't do it then. And then you let it go because people will say, well, she's trying to manipulate me. She's disappointed. She's angry. Man, maybe she's not expressing it the most appropriate way. But the reason that you feel manipulated is because you feel guilty, and you have no reason to feel guilty in the first place. And if you could get past that, then you wouldn't feel manipulated anymore.
Yeah, and especially, Sarah, since, you know, we're talking to you and many of your fellow listeners who are dealing with parents who are in a place in life where they have less distractions and you're kind of it, we have to stop and kind of take that deeper breath and say, okay, you know, is this something that she really needs right now? Or am I just feeling guilty because there's this part of me that's going right back into my childhood where if I did things the way mom wanted to and I saw that she was happy, I felt more secure and more loved? Because if that's the case, then we can say, all right, the only person who can make me secure and happy is God himself. I'm doing what I can do, and I'm working on the things that God has put in primary place for me, providing for my family, taking care of my spouse and my children. And my mom is important, but she's not in that sacramental place of my husband, and she's not part of that sacrament as my children are, and providing for them becomes part of that. I need to be able to do what I can and know that I'm still loved by God and my spouse.
So, you know, honoring her what, but negotiating the how and the when is your best way forward. And if there's more that we can do to support you in this, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com, or we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to learn how to set more effective boundaries while still being generous and honoring your mom. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Masters of Manipulation, as we talk about getting caught up in somebody else's lies, games, manipulations, power plays. Are you dealing with a kind of entitled person, whether that is your younger or adult child who's being really kind of demanding, or a spouse who's insisting on their way, maybe a family member or a friend who's always trying to get their way by making you feel guilty, like, you know, Sarah's mom? How can you tell the difference between being generous and being used, and how can you respond charitably but effectively when you're worried that you're being manipulated? 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4.
Do nothing from selfish ambition, but look to the interest of others.
Now, we often hear that verse, and then we'll say, well, so that means that I just have to do what people ask me, whether or not it's good for me or them or not.
Yeah, because we truly don't want to be selfish as Christian people.
But this applies to both the asker and the asked. You know, so the way I ask for help, I need to make sure that I'm looking out for your interests, and the way you respond to me, that you're looking out for mine. Very much like we were talking about with our previous caller here. You know, Sarah, who's, you know, got the questions about her mom, who's being a little bit demanding. You know, she's not saying, no, I'm not going to do that, and how dare you call me randomly or ask me to take your... No, she's saying, oh, mom, I would love to be able to help, or I'd love to be able to talk to you. Here's when I could do that. I can't do it when you're asking, but I could do it here and here. You know, you're looking to the interests of others. And in the same way, if her mom was looking to the interests of others, she could say, I need you to take me to the doctor, or I really miss you, and I'd love to talk with you more. I'm feeling kind of lonely. And then, you know, is there a time we could do that? And then you work it out together. So you're still able to get your needs met. You're just looking out for the interests of others while you're doing it. And that's how we stop being manipulative or selfish, and instead build real communities of love rooted in that mutual self-giving dynamic that characterizes healthy Christian relationships. Well, with that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825 on our show titled Masters of Manipulation. If you feel a little pressured, guilty, stuck because somebody's trying to kind of push you to do stuff, the you know, what they want, when they want, and how they want it, and you're not sure how to respond gracefully, let's work it out together. 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
As we approach Thanksgiving, a time to gather with loved ones, we're reminded of our responsibility to safeguard their future. Life's uncertainties can arise without warning, and without a clear legal plan, your wishes may go unfulfilled, leaving your family unprotected. At mycatholicwill.com/ave, you can create your will at no cost for the privacy of your home. The process is straightforward. Go to mycatholicwill.com/AVE and prioritize your family's peace of mind.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Masters of Manipulation, as we talk about dealing with those manipulative people in your life. 877-573-7825. By the way, over the break, we got an email from somebody who mentioned that the webinar, A More Peaceful Family by Christmas, is being advertised on some sites at 7:30 a.m. That is not correct. It should read 7:30 p.m. Eastern. We apologize for the error, and we'll get on that as soon as we can. But just for those of you who are interested, it is happening tomorrow, November 13th, Thursday, at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. A More Peaceful Family by Christmas. Check it out. And with that, back to our calls.
Let's talk now with Jeff, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on Ave Maria Radio.
Hey, Jeff, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hey, thank you. Well, I'm a 59-year-old recovering alcoholic and only saved by my submission to Christ and his power. I've been sober for a while, and I have a brother who was helping me retain my sobriety and getting me back on my feet a couple of years ago. However, he is what we would probably classify as extreme narcissist and controlling, hypocritical sort of real mastermind of everything. So he has been used. What I found out is he's used all of his help as a family member as leverage to sort of keep me under his thumb regarding everything. He has claimed that I owe him my everything from financial repair to even he tells my 19-year-old daughter that your father is he's not even fit to be a father and you don't you listen to me. Any decisions I make now in sobriety are incorrect. He's trying to get me to sign over guardianship and power of attorney so that he can control finances. He wants to keep, and any time I try to engage with him, I'm incorrect, wrong, and he uses my past alcoholism as a mental disorder that you are not even in command of your own. He's trying to banish me from visiting our farm, and it's a very, very troubling situation because I'm doing okay, and it's, of course, day by day, and I pray about him, and I've forgiven him for this sort of really autonomous, indignant sort of just pressing on me.
Yeah, it's awful.
I don't know, and if I offer to help, he says I'm not capable, and he's just sort of keeping me at a point where I don't know. I love him, and I want to proceed forward, but I am. He seems to, and he has everyone else know it in the family where he claims that I'm incapable of even functioning as an adult, and I need to be placed under house arrest, if you can say that. But I don't know how to.
How does he have the rest of the family snowed, though? Like when you say the rest of the family, do you mean like your kids,
parents, and your own child?
We have a mom that's suffering dementia, and we have a big plot of land where he took over as power of attorney when my father died 3-4 years ago, and he's controlling finances. So he is very mysterious about where any money is. We're entitled to land, and he says that I'm not entitled to it. There are fiscal irresponsibilities happening.
How about with your daughter? Like, is she like siding with him against you, or like?
She made an attempt to come up, and I was told, that as a recovering addict, I can't. There's only so many sorries that are worthless so anymore. And what I have done is I've lived a living example of sobriety, and she has now repaired our relationship by coming to me.
Okay.
And I've walked her. She comes up to Tennessee, which is wonderful. But her attempts to approach my brother and establish a relationship with her grandmother have been met with, you're just coming up to try to get a piece of the property, and you're greedy, and you're going to steal stuff from my mother, and I shouldn't let you on. You know, you're not in a position to help, and your father is incapacitated because he's a recovering alcoholic, so he doesn't have any say. And
I've only got 3 minutes before they play us out of here, so let me jump in. I think with the legal thing, you're going to need to get an attorney involved in that, because if you say that you have a right to the money, if you have a right to the land, and he's using this against you, then getting an attorney to kind of give your brother a reality check would be an important first step. Because if you could prove that you have a legal right to those things, then that takes some of the wind out of the sails, right? So that's number one. In terms of the relationship, you know, this is a time when you might need to set some boundaries with your brother and say, look, I love you, and I'm grateful for the support that you've given me in the past, but how you're treating me now is actually undermining my progress, undermining my dignity. And if you want to be part of my life, then you need to change that. And if you can't change that, then I'm going to need to put some distance between us. And I'm really sad about that. But I can't have you being in my life the way you are.
And say, you know, you worked really hard to help me. I'll always be grateful for that. But you were helping me so that I could stand on my own 2 feet, be a person, be a functioning member of, you know, this family and my own family with my daughter. And it's time for you to give me the space to be able to actively do that.
And if he won't give you the space, then you need to take the space.
Yeah.
And say, well, then you look like you can be as much a part of my life as you can be, you know, supportive to my ongoing recovery and to my my genuine efforts to take greater responsibility for my life and relationships and put my life back together again. But you know, this behavior is manipulative. It's unacceptable, and it needs to stop if you love me, and I hope that you do. Now, Jeff, if he did not previously say to you, look, I'm going to give you, you know, $1,000, but you're going to have to pay it back. Like, if there wasn't some agreement whenever he was helping you financially or supporting you, you know, emotionally when you were dealing with your addiction, then you don't owe him after the fact now. If there was some agreement, you need to honor that agreement. But if this is just, well, I helped you, and so now you owe me, that's not how that works. Legally and morally and ethically, he's got no ground to stand on if there wasn't an actual agreement, even if it's just a gentleman's agreement. So, number one, talk to an attorney who can help you defend your rights with regard to the inheritance. Number two, really look at setting some clear boundaries, let him know you want to be part of his life, you would love for him to be part of yours, but that requires him to find a different way to support you now that you're back on your feet. And if he can't do that, then you're going to have to not see him, and perhaps even, unfortunately, your mom, if she's, you know, if she's treating you that way as well.
Well, and since she's suffering from dementia, I understand that you want to be part of that in her life, but the stress between you and your brother isn't really going to help her, so it's almost charitable if you do have to set that boundary to step back so she's not caught up in it.
Well, I mean, and if you can be involved with it, my sense was that he was blocking you,
yeah,
right, from seeing your mom.
True.
So if that's the case, then there's nothing you can do. But if you can be there, understand that her pushing back is really rooted in that illness, and you can not take that personally and still be there for her. Thank you so much for the call, Jeff. If there's more we can do to support you through this, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com, and that goes for you listeners as well. If you are struggling in a situation where you feel you're dealing with a manipulative person, a person who's putting pressure on you, who is entitled, and you love them, but you are really struggling to know how to respond to them and make that relationship healthier, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks for tuning in.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.